Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
A lot of times you hear, if you've left the LDS church, we have nothing else in common now. And there may be some relationships that were built solely on a joint faith.
Right.
But for, like, close family or close friendships, I would hope that we have more substance to our relationship than just shared beliefs.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Saints Unscripted. You're here with Sabrina.
And Alex.
And our new friend, Brooklyn. Thank you for being here. Brooklyn is, well, she has kind of a unique story, though. We don't generally have this opportunity on this channel, but we're really excited for it. So she is a mother and a career woman, and there's a ball in my throat.
Are you nervous?
Am I nervous? It's you who's in the hot seat, my friend.
Oh, yes.
Okay, she is a mother and a career woman, and she also was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and no longer is. And she's experienced, let's say, like, some level of scrutiny, some not awesome things from people who are within the church, whether it was family or friends or random people. And we're going to learn from her today, kind of hear her experience and also what we can do better as members, as people who are not, when it comes to this sort of topic. So we're just really grateful that you're here, and we're excited to hear more about it.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
So were you born a member, or did you convert and then, because I know you also left as well, so how did...
Yeah, maybe give us a little breakdown.
I was born a member. The family's main claim to fame is we descend from Arza Hinckley, who was part of the Martin Willie rescue.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Grew up in American Fork, Utah. Very active within the church. I was the Beehive class president, and then all the class presidents on up. Just active participant. I've always tried to have callings in the church. I've always tried to keep with reading scriptures, keep praying, doing all the things that I was, you know, expected to do. Regularly attend the temple. I even worked as a temple worker for a while. Very strongly raised religious.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my family is still actively religious.
Okay. And would you say, and maybe this question is better later, I'm not sure, but would you say that in all of these, like, memories or whatever you were, how you were raised and how active and involved you were, do you look back on those, like, you were happy in those times too, or just super involved?
Yeah, I think at first I was very happy, especially as a child. I grew up and I had a lot of positive experiences.
Yeah.
I loved girls' camp.
I kind of loved girls'
camp. I loved girls' camp.
Certain years. Certain years more than others.
I would get in trouble because when we would go canoeing, I'd try to tip everyone else's canoes
over.
My gosh. That's not allowed.
I got a face full of seaweed.
Awesome.
Seaweed? Yeah. Someone threw a face full of seaweed at me.
Oh, fun. Once.
And on the first day. And
oh,
so
good.
Then I was stinky. It's nice. anyways.
But yeah, so, I mean, childhood-wise, I feel like there were a lot of really happy memories within religion.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that, looking back now, I don't necessarily agree with.
Right.
But there were a lot of things that, while I was active and involved in the church, they were happy things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For part of my childhood, we grew up near Nauvoo. And so we regularly would visit the Nauvoo area. And so when I got sealed to my husband, we made the trek and made our families make the trek all the way back to Nauvoo so that we could get sealed in the Nauvoo temple.
Cool.
So, yeah, there were a lot of just happy memories that exist within the church.
All right.
So as a teenager, I set out and I started forging my way into adulthood and career. I went to BYU, and I met my first husband at BYU, and we were sealed in the Manti Temple. My first husband was very abusive to me. And he often used things that our sealers told us, like the advice he gave of, you know, that as my husband's wife, I was to look to him for guidance and that I was to follow what he said. And so he used that to manipulate me to stay with him.
Oh, kind of like a weapon.
Yeah.
You promised this, don't forget it, kind of.
Right. And so he was expected to have final say in everything.
Oh my gosh.
I finally was able to leave him. And when I was away for work for quite a while, and I was able to leave him during that time. But coming back, when I tried to get my sealing canceled, the bishop was more or less unbelieving. And I had police reports, I had convictions, I had evidence behind my statements, but I was mostly not believed. And I had to keep repeating my story to this bishop over and over. And then kind of one of the final blows of that was that my ex-husband had to give permission for the sealing to be canceled. Mm-hmm. At that point, he wasn't active. He wasn't a participant. He never gave his permission because he just never responded to the bishop's request. And so it just kind of happened automatically after a certain period of time.
Oh, no.
But it just felt like a pretty big slap in the face to have to get permission from someone who'd abused me.
Yeah, no kidding.
To cancel that sealing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working as a police officer after that. And I started working in public service, so as a police officer and a paramedic, which kind of means I have a crazy schedule, I have weird shifts, I work all hours of the day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would attend all the activities I could, but I never really felt like a bishop took time to get to know me. And I always felt like I was treated like a semi-active member of the ward. And so when I would go to church, I would get the standard, wow, we haven't seen you in a while. You know, where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
And I would attend in uniform often. I would attend as much as I could. Like, they knew the job I had.
Yeah.
And I would explain that again, and then I would just kind of get a, you know, well, we'd really like it if you try to come to church more often.
Mm-hmm.
And I was. I was attending church every time I wasn't on duty.
Yeah.
After that, while I was working that job, I met my current husband, and we got sealed in the Nauvoo Temple, decided to start looking into having a child. And as I started doing that, I started researching, what does the church say about motherhood? Because here I am, and I have a career that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's very involved.
Right. Right. What do church leaders say about this? And so I went and I collected every quote I could find about motherhood, and I compiled them all in one place, and I kind of sorted them. And overwhelmingly, it felt like the stance was that I was going to be expected to be a stay-at-home mom, and that felt so wrong for me. Like, it felt so unnatural for
mm-hmm.
me. And so that was a really big, point of frustration for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I'm going through that, I started reading gospel topic essays, and I was introduced to subjects that I'd never heard of before. And I started reading about polygamy, and that caused me a lot of concern.
Yeah.
And it raised a lot more questions. You know, all this time I'm still trying to fit this mold that never felt like it was meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then my husband and I volunteered to teach a CTR4 class. And as I was reading the lesson manual, my husband and I were sitting there and we're like, well, I don't agree with the material that's in this lesson. And we were like, you know, if we can't agree with the material in a CTR4 class, like, this might not be where we want to raise our son.
Right, because that's like the simplest.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And so we were kind of at that point, and I went driving down south to go to a class, and I called my husband, and I was just like, you know, I'm done. I think I'm done with the church. I'd like to leave. And he was like, oh, yeah, me too. I've been thinking the same thing. And so we left at the same time.
And were you already pregnant at that point as well, or you still weren't quite there? Okay.
No, maybe this is wrong. We kind of saw it as a sign that it was the right choice for us because we'd had some fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd had some miscarriages and some other things like that. And we left, and a week later I got pregnant. And that's, and then that led to my son.
Kind of like a lot of, felt like a relief for you.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so I just have a question for you, kind of going back a little bit, when you talk about how before you met your husband, that you were already kind of feeling a little bit like not seen or appreciated for the efforts that you did make, or not feeling like the bishops like wanted to get to know you or care about you personally. Mm-hmm. And when you met your husband, what kind of place in the church was he at in that moment?
My husband was, I would say, more lukewarm.
Yeah.
In his thoughts and feelings towards Mormonism.
So do you feel like you were able to, like, from the start, kind of come to him with, you know, those concerns that you already felt about? No?
No, we both felt a lot of shame about having doubts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we both went on our own little faith adventures without talking to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when I brought up to him that I was ready to leave, that was really the first time that we said out loud that we were having these major doubts. And we both had different responses to having doubts. My husband's response was to avoid religion. He didn't want to talk about it anymore, didn't want to participate anymore. And my response was that it meant I needed to try harder. Yeah. And so when I started having doubts, my response was I needed to go to the temple more. I needed to read scriptures more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if my husband wasn't going to lead scripture study, that meant I needed to. And so then this was a source of tension.
Yeah.
Because
I kind of feel like you're forcing him to do something, too, that he doesn't want to.
That he obviously doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. So then it would just lead to scriptural debates instead of, like, this nice testimony-building experience I was aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
After leaving, my husband kind of introduced me to some of the materials that he'd been reading and some things that weren't published by the LDS Church. And that was really the first time I'd been confronted with any of these, like, hot topic items at all. And so I just kind of gave myself permission to read that side of things because I'd spent, you know, 28 years studying one side.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see, you know, what does the other side have to offer? And so at least for me, I just kind of concluded after that that this isn't something I want in my life, and this isn't something that's healthy for me.
Okay, so at this point in the story, you and your husband have both left the church, and I think a lot of the times people tend to get a lot of backlash for leaving the church, or, you know, some maybe like some negative feelings from other people. So I'm curious, when you guys did leave the church, what kind of response did that arise from people? And if you could go back, or, you know, like, how would you want people to respond?
Yeah. I think a lot of my close family members, when I responded, the answer was some form of, well, try studying this. Well, if you just read this, then that will change. Or there was, you know, automatic judgment of why I'd left, even though for at least those closest to me, I sent out an email because I know that I would not be able to keep all the points in line of what I wanted to express in this.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that it was really important that people would need time to process. And so I knew by email they would have time to respond when they felt ready. But I remember even I had a coworker in front of all of my other coworkers tell me that he thought I'd left specifically to sin. In front of all my coworkers, and maybe he meant it as a joke. I don't think so. No, knowing
that's
this guy, I don't think
joke.
He meant this as a joke.
No.
And so there's always that looming thought of, you know, based on comments and things like that, that people assume why we've left.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if we just avoid that judgment, that would help with a lot of this, because if you're not close enough to someone to be able to ask, and a lot of us would love if you asked why we left,
right.
You know, if you're not close enough to ask, also don't judge, like,
mm-hmm.
and even if you are close enough, like, let's just avoid the judgment overall.
Yeah, or the assumptions of any kind. Yeah.
And like, just like for me, I can believe, you know, like my parents, when they say that this is important to them and that this is a valuable thing to them, I can believe them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like them to in turn believe when I say, this isn't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't the right path for me. And I would just like that mutual understanding and judgment free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's believe someone when they say what they feel.
Yeah.
And I also think it's important to just say, I mean, the first thing that you said when I asked that question was a lot of people would just try to tell you, oh, read this one thing, or oh, do this. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's the initial response. People try to fix the situation.
Yeah, or they assume, like, you're not reading your scriptures every day anymore. That's mm-hmm. why, right? Or
rather than just, like you said, believing you and just just letting it, you know, you have your own path. And I think people aren't willing to accept that.
Like, for me, a lot of, I put forth so much effort to try to see, like, is this the path I want for me?
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's a suggestion of, like, oh, you just don't understand this point of the doctrine, or if you just read this, or if you prayed but the right way,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. then you would have received the answer I received.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's all-encompassing of, it's never appropriate to assume you know better for someone else than mm-hmm. they know for themselves.
Yeah.
So
beautifully said.
One thing that's important to note is that a lot of the people who watch Saints Unscripted are active members of the church or people who are learning about the church. There's also, we have an audience of people who have left or people who have no interest at all in ever joining. But for those who are active members and maybe have or haven't yet experienced someone close to them who have left, what is just like some important things I think that you think that we should all know and try to remember whenever that ever happens?
Yeah, I think first it's important to listen just to understand. You know, kind of like what we've done here. If you've asked me my experience and then there's been no, you haven't suggested anything I do different, you know, you haven't judged it at all. It's just listening to understand. And I think that helps. And then I think trying to find some common ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times you hear, if you've left the LDS church, we have nothing else in common now. And there may be some relationships that were built solely on a joint faith.
Right.
But for, like, close family or close friendships, I would hope that we have more substance to our relationship than just shared beliefs.
Yeah.
For sure.
I noticed because we kind of read a little bit of your summary before, and I think you mentioned something about, I don't know if it was your parents specifically, but how at first it was almost like, we have nothing left to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, come on, like, we have a whole life of all these other things. And so mm-hmm.
it's almost like the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You know?
They can't see past it somehow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. important.
Yeah. And so I think it's trying to find common ground. And it might also mean, like, you need to work to build common ground together.
Right,
you know? This may mean that we read a book together, or mm-hmm. we watch a TV show together,
explore,
or we pick up a hobby.
Yeah.
Or. Yeah, you know, there's so much to talk about that doesn't have to be inflammatory.
That's so true. Yeah.
That's so important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think the probably the final thing that I think a lot of former members would love is to bring up consent in these conversations. And I'll bet a lot of believing members would also feel this way. If we're going to talk about religion, let's see if everyone in the room is in a space where they could talk about that.
Yeah.
Right then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's not drop a general conference talk on someone's lab,
mm-hmm.
and let's in return not send an article we just read about Joseph Smith
mm-hmm,
to our believing family members. Like, let's ask, like, are you comfortable talking about this?
Yeah.
And then respect that boundary. If they say,
mm-hmm.
no, I'm not comfortable talking about this, don't, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of experiences that people have where they've laid down these boundaries with family members or neighbors or friends and said, you know, I don't want to be invited to church activities anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then those invites keep coming.
Yeah.
As so, like, I had, after I left, I officially resigned. And I had an individual call to ask me to participate in a young woman's activity. And the conversation started with, I know we've all been told not to talk to you about the church.
Then you hang up.
Wow. Oh, man.
And it's on one hand, like, thank you for sharing what my boundary was with those in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, like, you have to actually respect it.
Right,
yeah. That is a point that maybe that should be obvious,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like I can think of so many times where people, even in, like, my circle of life, have like dropped either side on each other.
Sure.
Without any sort of like, are you comfortable with learning why
mm-hmm.
I feel this way or anything like that? Because that, when does that ever work either on either, in either
right.
way? When
right.
does
sure.
it ever work to just throw a general conference talk or just keep bothering somebody?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that ever
right.
works. And if it does, is it like actually genuine? So that's a super big one.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I think for me, like, I would value more that my family respects those boundaries and that they just let me know they care.
Yeah.
You know, they care, they'd like to hear, but maybe right now they're not ready to hear my reasons.
Right. That's fair.
Then, like, ignoring or boundary crossing or...
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us, at least for me, I would just like to know that my friends and family don't see me differently.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to still love me. You know, they can just love me.
Yeah,
right.
Just because they always have. Yeah. I also love something that you mentioned in your summary was... that sometimes it feels like people assume that when you leave a religion or leave a faith that your values are all just, like, your internal values are just going to completely change, too. Like, like that person who said that you want to leave just to sin.
Right.
And you're like, okay, like, this wasn't a fun choice.
Yeah.
No. And so I think that, yeah, that's another thing that we should always remember is that, like, you know, internally you're still who you were, but just, you know... a different form in some ways, but also in a lot not, so...
Well, and likely we still share a lot of same values and morals, and, you know, all those things have changed, just how we practice those may be different.
Yeah. So. Yeah, just because you left, it doesn't mean you are a horrible person now, like, yeah.
What?
I know, what? Surprise!
Yeah, I love that. I feel like if we lived, I mean, I've said this before in other videos in other ways, but if we all were like the same, had the same exact thoughts on everything, whether it's faith or not, like, we'd be like in a dystopian world and it would be stupid.
Right.
I feel like it's really important for us to have very big differences sometimes from people in our lives and still learn to like love and work with them. And
yeah, I love everything that we just talked about and I love all the advice that you shared with us, especially when you said the whole still loving thing. I think it's so important to remember that we should always love these people regardless of the choices that they make, because like you said, we all have a different path in our lives. So thank you so, so much for coming on and talking with us today. We really appreciate you sharing your story. If anybody has any questions for you, is that okay if they leave them in the comments?
Sure.
Okay, awesome.
Be respectful.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, thank you so much, and we will see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch our videos, check us out on YouTube or shoot us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.